video today.
Well, did you ever just have one of those days? Yeah, you know, even Jesus had one of those days. Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be with you, even though it's through video. I certainly had hoped to present this message live and in person, but on Saturday morning, myself, my wife, in fact, my whole family, except for one person, tested positive for the COVID. So here we are doing the video thing once again. We're turning a corner now. You know, for the last several weeks, Mike especially has been preaching on the road to resurrection. And that was a good study. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. And now we're moving on to something a little bit different. We'll be looking at the life of Jesus. A life in order. Don't you wish that your life was in order? I wish mine was always in order. You know, we talk about walking in the pattern of Jesus. And the best way I can explain that is when I think about walking through the snow. A lot of times an adult would walk ahead of a child, and a child for fun would try to match footprint for footprint for footprint. And, you know, an adult can take some pretty large steps, and a child might have trouble matching those. But the fact that they're trying is important, not going off in a different direction. And the older they get and the more mature they become, the more closely they can match step for step. Well, that's what it's like in following Jesus, an exciting thing we do with our lives, to follow him and to walk in the footsteps of our Lord. So let's start the transition now from the road to resurrection now to Jesus, a life in order. Today's scripture will be from Matthew chapter 12. Verses 46 through 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Well, Jesus asked a question about family. Who is my family? It's basically what he's saying. Did you know that Jesus had brothers and apparently sisters? We don't know, but brothers are named. Children, natural children of Mary and Joseph. Well, if he asked me who my brothers are and my mother and even my sisters, I would probably show you this picture. That's all 10 of us. Mike, Peg, Connie, Becky, Mary, Danny, Pat, John, Bob, and Jeff, and our mother, Shirley. This picture was taken the birthday before she passed. And this next picture, well, that's the whole clan. That's all my siblings, their spouses, their children, and the children's spouses, their kids, a few girlfriends and boyfriends in the mix, and that's the whole mob of my immediate family. Who is my family? Who is my mother, my brother, my sisters? Well, that's a question that Jesus asked and one that we're going to delve into today. Well, you know, Jesus had a kind of a strange response. I mean, if someone says, hey, your mom needs to talk to you, or your brothers have come to talk to you, or, you know, your wife's outside, she needs to talk to you, I would probably respond and say, okay, I'll go. But Jesus didn't. He said, who are they? These people in front of me, they are my mothers and my brothers. So let's look. Let's back up. Let's back up the clock a little bit. Earlier that day, what was happening that day? Jesus was having one of those amazing days where great things were happening, dangerous things were happening. It was just one of those days. It started as Jesus and his disciples were walking on their way to synagogue, walking through a wheat field or a field of some type, and they were hungry, and they were pulling off heads of wheat, rolling in their hands, and eating them. Well, of course, it being the Sabbath, that broke the letter of the law because you can't harvest crops on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees were watching this, and they gave Jesus the what for when they got to the synagogue. So that's how the day started. Of course, Jesus had an exchange with them, and and said that the Sabbath is for the man isn't for the Sabbath. Then while they're in the synagogue, there's a man with a withered hand, and Jesus healed the hand. Well, that really got the Pharisees upset to the point where they began to plot on how they would kill him. Understand, it's early in Jesus' ministry. And so he's just now beginning to build reputation, and the Pharisees are just beginning to figure out what to do with him. And one of their solutions was to end his life. So Jesus left the synagogue and many followed him. And that's important to know. It wasn't just his disciples that came in with him, but many people who were in the synagogue said, I want more of this. And in fact, they went and they got their friends and maybe some family members and come see the man who can heal you. And Jesus was just involved in the healing ministry for quite some time. Someone brought a demon-possessed, deaf and dumb man to Jesus to be healed. Jesus healed him on the spot. And again, that stirred up the Pharisees. So that's the kind of day that Jesus was having. After that, he went to a house, oikos. And oikos is like a large area where many people live, extended family, they all live together. And it was packed with people. And then after that ministry was done, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, he went and sat by the lake, and the lake was just right nearby, actually. It was, I don't know, about a stone's throw, but it was very close by. And the people followed him, and so in order to get some distance, he got in a boat, went out on the lake, and from there he taught five parables. And I won't go into each of the parables, but they're ones that you would recognize, or the common parable. And then he had to explain to his disciples what all this meant. So that's the kind of day that Jesus was having. Threats, healings, crowds. Went without lunch because in the book of Mark it said that they didn't. It was too crowded to even eat in that house. Ends up on a lake teaching and explaining. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. The Pharisees were just beside themselves. And then in the middle of all of this, mom shows up. And the brothers show up. And actually, if you look at the book of Mark, they thought he was off his rocker. They thought he was deranged. And so they came to save him. Well, let me look a little more closely at some of the details of what happened. Jesus was teaching in the house of Simon and Andrew and their extended family. So as I mentioned earlier, in the first century Israel, people tended to live in oikos, and in fact, that whole part of the world, not just Israel, but they lived in an oikos, and that's where maybe three or four brothers and their families and in-laws and extended families all would cohabitate one area that had many rooms. And so Jesus was in the oikos. Now, in first century Jewish culture, your identity was rooted deeply in your family. Honoring your father, honoring your mother was considered one of your highest moral obligations. And when Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" he was distancing, creating distance between himself and his own family in quite a shocking way. Then Jesus looked at his disciples seated around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And so Jesus is creating a distinction between just genetic, my siblings, my mother, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, and saying these around me have become my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. Jesus was redefining family, not solely on the basis of marriage and genetics, but on the basis of calling to represent God and to do his will on earth as it is done in heaven. So how does that impact me? How do I make this personal in my life? I think about that picture I showed you earlier. And those who maybe don't know, I live about 2 hours from most of my siblings. And as I continue to get older, I wonder if I made a good choice. Now, I love Ottawa. We love Ottawa. We have been here for 32 years. We call this home. But we do that at a price because we have moved away from my natural family and my wife's natural family. So who are my brothers and who are my sisters here? Well, this picture will give you some clue. For those who wouldn't know, I'm the director of a mission organization. And this picture, these missionaries around the world, they are my brothers and my sisters. And if I was right there in Christ Community Church this morning, if I was up there on that platform bringing this message to you, I would point to you and say, you are my brothers and you are my sisters. And so in my own life, I created that distinction because I believe God has called us here and continues to call us here. And that's how it works for me. Well, we'll see in the next chapter that Jesus did go to his family in his hometown of Nazareth. When he went to Nazareth, he was not well received. You know, that's you might be familiar with the scripture that says a prophet has no honor in his own home. And he went to Nazareth, and the people there said, isn't that Jesus? Isn't that the son of that carpenter? Isn't his mother named Mary? Aren't those his brothers? So it was. That's what Jesus had to look forward to. He was not a prophet in his own hometown. Now, he wasn't rejecting his biological family, but he also was not going to let them derail him from his mission. When Jesus sowed the seed of God's word in Capernaum, which is where all this other took place, he found good soil. Crowds came. They sought after him. He found people of peace who were receptive and responsive to the vision of the kingdom. So good soil, not so good soil. So when Simon invited him into their extended family, into the oikos, Jesus knew that this was now his new home. But he was showing them a whole new way to be a family. He was teaching them how to live as a family of disciples on mission together, living out the good news of the kingdom. And the soil produced good fruit, 30, 60, 90, 100 times what was sown. After Jesus' death and resurrection, when he commissioned them to make disciples and take the good news of the kingdom to the ends of the earth, they continued to follow the same patterns of multiplying Jesus-shaped families of disciples who were living on mission together. Now, I do want to say this. I've been pretty hard on Jesus and his brothers. Not on Jesus, but on his brothers. The truth is, over time, they also became disciples. They also got it. In the beginning, it was like, I don't know. Do you suppose that, that Jesus left the carpenter shop and they were a little bit peeved about that? And he's off doing other things? I don't know what their angst was about. But eventually they did get it, and they did follow in the pattern of Christ. It came to be called the church. Now, these oikos, these groups of people, you know, the churches didn't begin as we know a church today. It began really as family living together. And Jesus built a church made up of extended spiritual families on mission who continued to follow his way and do the will of God. And this is how the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven still today. So, how do you define your family? How do you define your family? When you think of your family, are you thinking primarily of mother, father, sister, brother, aunts, uncles? Of course. Who is your spiritual family? Who is in your oikos? Who is in that circle of believers? Has God put you on a mission? are you so focused on your earthly family that you're not engaging in that spiritual family? Now, I do want to be very clear to say God's not calling us to ditch our spouse and our kids and go off on a mission someplace. As a matter of fact, I just met with a woman last week who it felt a little bit like that's what she thought God was calling her to do. So we worked that out, and it's she might do that with some other organization, but not with ours. So I'm not talking about abandoning family at all, because he's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. How could you build a family that looks more like Jesus' family on mission? I think that's what the message is today. As we look at this chapter 12 in Matthew, and realize that Jesus had just an amazing day of ministry. And he was not about to get distracted by the mundane. What's God saying to you right now? Well, it's been my pleasure, even though it's through video, to bring this message. I promise you, it's not near as much fun to do it into a camera as it is to do it from a platform. But I hope there's at least a little seed of thought there, something that you had never considered before, as we began to learn to live in the pattern of Jesus, to live a Jesus type of life. Think about that. Think about your family, your spiritual oikos. Think about what God would want to do with you. So I'm about to lose my voice. I don't have much left. This is it. I'm going to have to cut it short. But I would challenge you to pray about what God is calling you to in terms of who is your mother, who are your brothers, who is in your circle. How will you engage those who are not your genetic family, but whom God has brought into your life? God bless you. I pray that there's something about this message that strikes home for you, something that brings you closer to living out a God-filled life, God-purposed life, to live and walk in the pattern of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.